Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. One of the most frequent things I'm asked to review with students before starting the MegaCode practice is heart blocks. Reading ECGs isn't a skill you learn once and forget. It takes practice to remain proficient. People that work in roles where ECG monitoring isn't part of their daily jobs would do well to review ECGs every few days for a week or two before their class. Learning the characteristics of specific ECG rhythms will help us identify the rhythm so that we can provide the most appropriate care. The characteristics of second-degree heart blocks and how we treat symptomatic patients with them is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. For your ACLS class, and generally speaking in the clinical setting, when we look at a strip or the rhythm on a monitor, assume that it's lead 2. In time, people who look at monitors and strips regularly will just see rhythms. For everyone else, I find that it's best to use a systematic approach to identifying the rhythm. Here are the questions I ask myself when I look at an ECG. Is it slow, fast, or really fast, as indicated by a rate less than 60, over 100, or over 150? Is it regular or irregular? If irregular, is it regularly irregular or irregularly irregular? Are P waves and QRS complexes discernible? How long is the PR interval, and is it constant for every beat? In my head, this is how identifying every rhythm starts. I suggest that you find a system that works well for you and then practice it regularly. Remember that when we look at an ECG, the P wave represents depolarization or contraction of the atria. The QRS complex shows movement down through the bundle branches and up through the Purkinje fibers, causing contraction of the left and right ventricles. When there's a delay or blockage of the usual conduction pathway, we see dysrhythmias on the ECG referred to as blocks or AV blocks. There are four basic heart blocks we need to recognize to pass ACLS written exam and MegaCode. First degree, second degree type 1, or Winckelbach, second degree type 2, and third degree, or complete heart block. We'll cover first and third degree heart blocks in another episode. For today, let's review the two second degree AV blocks. Let's examine the characteristics of second degree type 1 first. Looking at the ECG in lead 2, we see a mostly regular rhythm with discernible upright P waves and QRS complexes, with an occasional missed beat. The PR interval is not constant. In fact, we see that the PR interval appears to get wider and wider until a QRS is skipped, and we see two P waves with the second P wave followed by a QRS with a normal PR interval less than 5 tiny boxes. This is a second degree type 1, or Winckelbach. This rhythm doesn't usually require treatment. If the patient is bradycardic and unstable as indicated by the presence of hypotension, signs of shock, diminished level of consciousness, signs of acute CHF, or ischemic chest pain, then 1 mg of atropine can be administered rapid IV push every 3 to 5 minutes up to a maximum of 3 mg total. If, on the ECG, we see a constant PR interval for QRS complexes, but there are 2, 3, or even 4 P waves between every QRS, this is a second degree type 2. If we have an unstable bradycardic patient with a second degree type 2 AV block, we can try 1 mg of atropine rapid IV push as a first-line intervention. Be aware that atropine may not be effective for patients in a second degree type 2 or third degree AV block, because atropine works on the SA node and not on the AV node or the ventricles. If we see an increase in the frequency of P waves, but no increase in the pulse or QRS complexes on the ECG, atropine isn't working, and subsequent doses may be skipped. If the first dose of atropine doesn't work, we should prepare for transcutaneous pacing. If there's a delay in starting TCP, a beta-adrenergic like dopamine or an epinephrine drip may be used while we prepare TCP. Dopamine or epinephrine should be started at the lowest dose and titrated up slowly only until we have a systolic blood pressure above 90 millimeters of mercury. 0.5 micrograms per kilogram per minute is the starting dose for dopamine, or 2 micrograms per minute for epinephrine. Atropine, dopamine, and epinephrine increase the workload of the heart, so they should be used with caution in patients with suspected myocardial ischemia or a confirmed MI. To summarize, if the PR interval gets wider until it drops a beat, it's second degree type 1. And if the PR interval is constant, but not every P wave is followed by a QRS, it's a second degree type 2. I hope that you found this review of second degree heart blocks useful. If so, be sure to push the plus, subscribe, or follow button on your listening app so that you can listen to a new ACLS tip daily. Listening to a past ACLS tip daily for 14 to 30 days prior to your class will help to cement the knowledge and concepts you need to pass your ACLS written exam and MegaCode. If you're able, please consider making a donation to the American Cancer Society via the link in the show notes. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.